Welcome to Base by Base, the Papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So, when we think about neurodegenerative diseases, especially multiple sclerosis, we usually tend to visualize a battlefield.
Right, yeah. That's the classic way to look at it.
Exactly. I mean, we know the immune system goes rogue, right? Mm-hmm. It crosses the blood-brain barrier and just causes this severe inflammation.
Yeah.
But there has always been this fundamental mystery at the heart of the whole process.
Oh, totally. The actual mechanism of the damage.
Right. Like, we see the crossfire, but how does that immune crossfire cause the actual brain cells, the neurons themselves, you know, to die? What really happens when a neuron tries to defend itself against inflammation but accidentally triggers its own metabolic collapse?
Yeah, it really is just this devastating paradox. I mean, we've mapped out the immune side of that battlefield quite thoroughly over the years.
We have.
But the neuron's actual internal response to that hostile environment, that's been, well, largely obscured. It's almost like a black box.
I was trying to visualize what's happening inside the cell, you know, to really wrap my head around it. And I kept coming back to a city's waste management system.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. So let's say you have an internal recycling center in the neuron, a structure called a proteasome. It's constantly taking in damaged proteins, breaking them down, basically keeping the streets cleaned.
Yeah, standard maintenance.
Exactly. But during a crisis, like severe inflammation, the city kind of panics. It swaps out its regular trash compactors for specialized wartime machinery. But, and here's the question, what if that new machinery is fundamentally mismatched for the city?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's so slow that toxic waste begins to build up, eventually causing a catastrophic citywide power failure?
That analogy actually captures the exact dynamic we're exploring today, because the destruction of the neuron isn't just a direct result of the external attack.
Right.
It is the neuron's own defensive adaptation to that attack that ultimately seals its fate.
The idea that a cell's own defense mechanism is what kills it is just staggering to me. I really want to dive into how we actually know this is happening, because peering inside a single neuron during an immune storm just seems, well, impossible.
It definitely took some remarkable engineering to prove it, that's for sure.
Well, today we celebrate the work of the team led by Manuel A. Fries at the Institute of Neuroimmunology and Multiple Sclerosis, University Medical Center Hamburg-Eppendorf, along with their global collaborators. They have advanced our understanding of how inflammation directly disrupts neuronal metabolism to drive neurodegeneration.
Yeah, their work represents a massive step forward for the field. I mean, if we look at the broader context, multiple sclerosis is a major inflammatory and neurodegenerative disease affecting young adults.
Right, and it's driven by those autoreactive T cells, right?
Exactly. These T cells infiltrate the central nervous system, and once those immune cells are inside the brain and spinal cord, they don't just sit there, they release a storm of inflammatory signals.
Mm. And this persistent neuroinflammation isn't just an MS problem, is it?
No, not at all. It's actually a hallmark of aging in general. And it's present in other neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's too.
So what's the primary signal driving this specific response? Like, is there one dominant alarm bell ringing?
There is, yeah. The most prominent driver in this scenario is a really potent cytokine called interferon gamma.
Okay, let's unpack this. We know these T cells infiltrate the brain, and we know they flood the environment with interferon gamma, but I'm still missing the bridge between that alarm bell and the neuron actually dying.
Right, the missing link.
Yeah. Like, why don't the neurons just hunker down, weather the storm, and wait for the immune flare-up to pass?
Well, to understand why they can't just wait it out, we have to look at the concept of proteostasis.
Okay, proteostasis.
Yeah, it's the continuous, really delicate balancing act of protein creation and protein degradation inside any cell. As you mentioned earlier with the waste management idea, cells use a complex called the proteasome to degrade proteins.
Right.
And specifically, the catalytic core of this whole thing is known as the 20S core particle.
Mm. So this 20S core is basically the actual shredder blade of the trash compactor.
Exactly. The shredder blade. And in dividing immune cells, when they get hit with an inflammatory signal, like interferon gamma, they do something highly functional.
What do they do?
They swap out their standard proteasome subunits for what we call immunoproteasome subunits.
Wait, really? So yeah. Immune cells deliberately change their own recycling centers during a crisis. Why would they do that?
They do it to process proteins differently. An immunoproteasome is specifically designed to chop proteins into very specific peptide lengths.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and then those little pieces are shuttled to the surface of the cell and presented as antigens to alert the rest of the immune system. It's a critical adaptation for rapid response and immune communication.
That makes total sense for an immune cell.
Mm.
But neurons are postmitotic.
Right, they don't divide.
Yeah, they don't divide, they don't hunt down pathogens, and they live for decades with incredibly complex structures.
And that right there is the baseline context of this entire deep dive. We are exploring how these non-dividing, highly specialized neurons react to those exact same inflammatory signals.
So do they also try to build immunoproteasomes?
That's the question. And if they do, what are the consequences for a cell that isn't designed to present antigens in the first place?
But testing that seems like a logistical nightmare. I mean, if the brain is swarming with immune cells and inflamed supporting cells and all this debris, how do you even see what the neuron itself is doing?
It is an incredibly noisy environment. To isolate the neuron's response, the research team used a specific animal model called experimental autoimmune encephalomyelitis, or EAE, in mice.
And that's the gold standard model for MS.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But their real innovation here was a proteome tagging technique to cut through all that noise.
Oh, how did that work?
They crossed neuron-specific SNAP25 Cre mice with LSL-R26 MITR-S star mice.
Okay, I'm going to need you to translate that genetics for me. What does that cross actually achieve in the mouse?
Fair enough. Essentially, the MITR-S star is a mutant enzyme. When it's expressed, it can incorporate a non-canonical amino acid into newly synthesized proteins.
Yeah.
But because they use the Cre system linked specifically to SNAP25, this mutant enzyme is only turned on inside the neurons.
Ah, I see. So it's almost like like giving a special invisible ink only to the factory workers.
The neurons, yeah.
Right, the neurons inside this chaotic inflamed city. So when you extract the tissue and use a chemical reader later, you see exactly what proteins those factory workers built. You can completely ignore everything built by the rioters, the immune cells outside.
That invisible ink analogy is spot on. By using click chemistry to pull out only the newly synthesized proteins containing that specific tag, they bypassed the noise of the neuroinflammation entirely.
That is so clever.
It really is. And they didn't stop there. They paired this with RNA sequencing of neuronal nuclei to map gene expression and a probe called Cy5 epoxamycin.
What does that probe do?
It physically tracks the speed and activity of the neuron's recycling centers. They even used MELLD mass spectrometry imaging to map the physical buildup of specific metabolites in the spinal cord.
Wow, they threw an absolute arsenal at this. So when they finally read the invisible ink, what did they find the neurons were actually building?
Well, here's where it gets really interesting.
I'm ready.
They found that during this MS-like inflammation, the interferon gamma forces the neurons to alter their recycling centers. The neurons start expressing an immunoproteasome subunit called PSMB8.
And this PSMB8 replaces the normal shredder blade, which I think is called PSMB5.
Correct. The neuron swaps its standard subunit for the wartime subunit.
Hold on, I'm confused here. If this PSMB8 subunit is a wartime upgrade that makes immune cells faster, better at surviving, and great at presenting antigens, why does it break the neuron's factory?
That's a great question.
Like, why does the exact same biological part have the exact opposite effect depending on the cell type?
It comes down to structural and functional mismatch. An immunoproteasome in a T cell is optimized to cleave proteins into those specific peptide lengths for antigen presentation.
Right.
But it is not designed for the bulk daily degradation of the highly specialized complex structural proteins that a neuron relies on to maintain its massive axon and its synapses.
Oh. So the neuron is trying to stuff a complex structural beam into a shredder designed to make tiny uniform puzzle pieces.
Exactly. So when PSMB8 integrates into the neuron's proteasome, it drastically decreases the overall catalytic activity for what the neuron actually needs to degrade. The trash compactor slows down to a crawl.
Wow.
Yeah, the adaptation that optimizes an immune cell ends up completely crippling the postmitotic neuron.
So the wartime machinery is just totally incompatible with the factory. And because the compactor slows down, the trash must start to pile up.
It does. But the researchers found it wasn't just random cellular debris piling up.
What was it?
A very specific, highly critical metabolic enzyme begins to accumulate purely because the proteasome is no longer degrading it fast enough. That enzyme is called PFKFB3.
Okay, PFKFB3. What does that enzyme normally do in a healthy neuron?
In a healthy neuron, PFKFB3 is kept at very low levels. The active proteasome constantly shreds it. And this is vital because neurons rely heavily on a metabolic route called the pentose phosphate pathway, or the PPP.
The PPP.
Yes. And the PPP is essential because it generates antioxidants for the cell.
So if this enzyme builds up, it must be redirecting something.
Yeah.
Is it acting like a train switch operator on the metabolic tracks?
That's a brilliant way to conceptualize it. PFKFB3 produces a molecule that allosterically activates another enzyme and that drives glucose down the glycolytic pathway instead.
So it essentially flips the tracks.
Exactly. Accumulated PFKFB3 forces the neuron's metabolism away from the protective pentose phosphate pathway and shunts everything into heavy glycolysis.
But why is leaving the pentose phosphate pathway so deadly for the neuron? Like, what's the immediate consequence of flipping that switch?
It all comes down to the sudden loss of antioxidants. The PPP creates crucial molecules, specifically NADPH and glutathione.
And glutathione is important.
Glutathione is basically the biological fire extinguisher of the cell. It neutralizes reactive oxygen species.
But normal cellular processes are constantly producing those reactive oxygen species, right?
Yep.
Like tiny metabolic sparks.
Constantly. Especially in a highly active cell, like a neuron. So if you flip the metabolic switch and shut down the PPP, the neuron supply of those fire extinguishers just plummets.
Oh, no.
Yeah, those tiny metabolic sparks are no longer neutralized, and so they ignite the cell's structural lipids.
The fats that make up the cell membrane.
Yes. The structural lipids undergo massive oxidation. They literally rust and break apart because they are stripped of their protective antioxidants.
That sounds terrifying.
It is. This leads to a very specific catastrophic event called ferroptosis, which is a type of cell death driven by toxic lipid peroxidation. The researchers proved this by showing that neurons expressing PSMB8 had massive spikes in lipid peroxidation. That made them incredibly vulnerable to glutamate excitotoxicity and ultimately resulted in ferroptosis.
It's just a tragic domino effect when you lay it all out like
that. It really is.
So the immune system causes inflammation. The neuron tries to adapt by building an aminoproteasome to handle the stress, but that aminoproteasome is fundamentally the wrong shape for the neuron's trash, so the recycling center jams.
Exactly.
Now, PFKFB3 piles up. It flips the metabolic switch away from antioxidant production. The neuron runs out of glutathione, its membranes basically rust, and it dies.
It is a devastating sequence, but mapping the cascade is really only half the battle.
Right, because you want to stop it.
Exactly. The researchers wanted to see if they could stop those dominoes from falling in the first place. And the in vivo data, the results from the living mice, are incredibly compelling.
How did they manage to intervene in such a complex cascade?
Well, they approached it from two different angles. First, they used a genetic approach. They created a mouse model where they specifically deleted the gene for PSMB8, that faulty aminoproteasome subunit only in the neurons.
So even when the inflammation alarm bells were ringing, the neurons were physically incapable of building that incompatible trash compactor.
Right, and when these mice were subjected to MS-like inflammation, their disease severity was significantly reduced.
Wait, really?
Yeah. They saw less neuronal loss, preserved synapses in the spinal cord, and reduced axonal degeneration. The neurons survived the immune storm simply because their internal metabolism remained intact.
That's incredible, but we obviously can't just edit the genes of living human patients to remove a proteasome subunit. Did they test anything pharmacological?
They did. They used a systemic drug called ONX0914, which inhibits the immunoproteasome.
And did that work?
It did. Treating the mice with this drug also reduced disease severity. But perhaps even more elegantly, they targeted the metabolic switch itself. They used a drug called PFK158 to inhibit that accumulating PFKFB3 enzyme.
Oh, that's fascinating. So even if the proteasome was broken and PFKFD3 was piling up in the streets, the drug basically incapacitated the switch operator.
Exactly. It forced metabolism back to the protective pentose phosphate pathway.
And the neuron survived.
The protective effect was perfectly mirrored. Less disease severity, fewer dying neurons, drastically reduced lipid peroxidation. By chemically inhibiting the metabolic switch, they completely shielded the neurons from the immune system's crossfire.
So what does this all mean for how we actually treat these diseases? Because it sounds like we are looking at a massive clinical paradigm shift here.
We really are. Think about the current landscape of therapies for multiple sclerosis right now. Virtually all of our highly effective disease-modifying therapies are designed to suppress or modulate the peripheral immune system.
Right, we try to stop the T-cells from attacking or stop them from entering
right.
The brain. It's like trying to stop a siege by negotiating with the invading army or just reinforcing the outer gates. But we're doing very little to fortify the castle from the inside while the walls are actively crumbling.
That's a perfect analogy. These findings present a tangible opportunity for true neuroprotective therapies. Treatments that target the brain intrinsically, building neuronal resilience against inflammatory stress, regardless of what the immune system is doing.
Because if we can keep the neuron's metabolic engine running correctly, it can survive a hostile environment.
Precisely.
And the implications have to go way beyond multiple sclerosis, right? I mean, we mentioned earlier that neuroinflammation isn't just an MS problem.
It's a universal hallmark of neurodegenerative diseases. We know that neuroinflammation and proteasome dysfunction are early markers of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease.
They often appear long before the severe cognitive or motor symptoms even manifest, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So if a brain is chronically inflamed for years, whether that's from rogue T cells in MS or, you know, toxic protein plaques in Alzheimer's, the neurons might be slowly starving themselves of antioxidants by stubbornly switching to this immunoproteasome.
It is a highly compelling hypothesis. This PSMB8-induced tipping point where inflammation forces the proteasomes to falter and alters cellular metabolism, it might be a unifying mechanism across multiple forms of neurodegeneration.
That completely reorients how we might approach neuroprotection on a global scale.
It really does.
As incredible as this is, I do want to push back a little bit on the limitations. We've talked about shutting down this metabolic switch with drugs like PFK-158.
Yeah.
But earlier you said immune cells naturally use the immunoproteasome and actually rely on these pathways.
That's true.
So if we just give a patient a systemic drug that shuts those down everywhere in the body, wouldn't that severely compromise their immune system?
You've hit on the major clinical caveat there. And the researchers are very transparent about this. The pharmacological drugs used in the study ONX-0914 and PFK-158, they do suppress the immune system globally.
Okay, yeah.
If you shut down the immunoproteasome everywhere, immune cells can't process antigens properly.
So you might save the neurons, but you'd completely cripple the patient's ability to fight off like a standard viral infection.
Precisely the risk. While patients with an autoimmune disease like MS already tolerate some level of targeted immunosuppression, broadly suppressing antigen presentation just isn't ideal.
Especially not long-term.
Right, and it's certainly not a viable long-term strategy for a broader application in diseases like Alzheimer's.
Are there any other blind spots in the mechanism we should be aware of?
Well, there is an interesting biochemical wrinkle. When they blocked the pentose phosphate pathway, it drastically reduced the antioxidants, but it didn't completely eradicate all the glutathione in the neurons.
Oh, really? Meaning the neurons must have some backup systems or alternative pathways for generating antioxidants that we just haven't fully mapped out yet.
Exactly. Biology rarely relies on a single point of failure if it can avoid it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So while this mechanism is clearly a major driver of ferroptosis, it's operating alongside other complex cellular networks. The immediate next steps for this research really have to be about precision.
We need to figure out how to get the medicine only to the factory workers, not the entire city.
Yes. Future therapeutics need to explore targeted delivery systems. For instance, utilizing targeted protein degraders like PROTAC or nanoparticle delivery systems that solely inhibit PSMB8 or PFKFB3 inside the neurons.
Without compromising the systemic immune response.
Exactly. Now that the target has been clearly validated, solving the delivery mechanism is the next great hurdle.
It's just an incredible piece of detective work. Tracing a whole body immune response down to a single faulty gear in a cellular trash compactor, which leads to a metabolic train wreck and ultimately the rusting of the cell membrane.
It's quite a journey.
It really highlights a fundamental, almost tragic truth of biology sometimes. It's our own defensive adaptations that leave us most vulnerable. The neuron tries its hardest to act like an immune cell to survive the stress, and it pays the ultimate price for that mismatch.
It proves that the neuron is not just a passive victim in neurodegeneration. Its internal machinery is actively involved in its own demise. But more importantly, it proves that this internal machinery is targetable. We have a new pathway to intervene.
Let's bring this all together for you. If you're going to take away one core insight from this deep dive, it's this. Inflammation in multiple sclerosis forces neurons to alter their cellular recycling centers, causing a metabolic traffic jam that depletes essential antioxidants and triggers cell death. By blocking this specific metabolic switch, we can shield neurons from the immune system's crossfire.
It's a completely new way of looking at neuronal survival.
Exactly. What does this mean for the future of treating neurodegenerative diseases, where protecting the brain's internal metabolism becomes just as important as calming the immune system attacking it?
It's definitely something to think about.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Quiet sails where the long nights run. The signal hits like a second sun. The cleanup crew forgets its beat, and something sharp moves under my feet. A broken rhythm in the spinning rain. What used to clear now holds a sting. Sugar fire climbs, the buffer fades, and I can feel the dark get made. Hold on, don't let the circuit burn. Turn the switch, let the tide return. Cut the spark that feeds the flame. Say the line, rewrite the pain. I'm not undone. When the light shift, I run. I run. A single part slides into place and slows the blade that keeps the space. One restless driver won't break down so fast it pulls my power down. No more rust in the river of breath. No more iron songs marching to death. If we block that door, if we calm that drive, we keep the fragile wires alive. Hold on, don't let the circuit burn. Turn the switch, let the tide return. Cut the spark that feeds the flame. Say the line, rewrite the pain. I'm not done, I'm not undone. When the light shift, I run.